Welcome to the Dr. John Day Show, a cardiologist's guide to real food, real living, and real happiness. Are you struggling with losing weight, fatigue, depression, or conditions that have you on medications? Is your health good, but heart disease or cancer run in your family? Most medical conditions are reversible or preventable. There is a better way to live. Let Dr. Day help you to feel younger today.
Hi, this is Dr. John Day from the Dr. John Day Show. Welcome to podcast episode number 24, Food Rules. I'm in the studio today with a very special guest, my wife, Jane. Jane has been working with me to produce our podcast, newsletters, and to create our website to help get our message out to as many people as possible, that there is a better way, that we can create a level of health and wellness that enables us to live the full lives we desire to live. We have more power than we think. During the 12-week course that Jane and I led for my patients kept telling us how much that they wanted to hear more from Jane. So I thought I would give you the chance today to hear from her, and hopefully from time to time as she contributes blogs and articles and podcasts, you'll get a chance to hear more from her and the wonderful insight that she has.
Well, it's fun to be here with you today, John. I had an experience recently that I would love to share that prompted some thinking for me, has been helpful for me, and hopefully will be helpful for you listening today as well. Recently, I was in the grocery store in the cereal aisle and overheard a mother telling her child, "You can have this cereal or this one or that one." The child countered, "Can I have this one?" "No," the mother replied, "but you could have this one." I looked up to see her pointing to a box of sugary chocolate puffed cereal. I paused, intrigued, wondering by what criteria was this mom making her selections. So I pretended to be busily evaluating the cereal boxes myself as I continued to listen, and as the tension increased between the mom and the boy of probably about 10 years in age, and it got to the level where she was asking him to take a certain cereal, and he was saying, "That cereal's for babies." And she replied, "No, it's not." And he said, "Yes, it is." "No, it's not." "Yes, it is." So they had quite a bit of back and forth as they kind of got in this little bit of a debate about what cereal the boy was going to be able to select. So finally, her food rule was revealed. She said, "Look, we're going gluten-free, so you're going to have to pick one of these gluten-free cereals." And I reflected, why am I so intrigued by this scenario? Because I actually saw myself in it. Over my lifetime, I have placed a lot of food rules on myself. At one time, my rule was fat-free or reduced fat. As long as a food met this criterion, I could happily consume it. Do you by chance remember the Snackwells fat-free cookies, maybe the devil food chocolate cookies in the green box? When those came out, I was in heaven. I just didn't even consider the possibility of, you know, the sugar and mysterious ingredients maybe not being so healthy, but they were fat-free, and so they were permissible. And were you as excited as I was when fat-free Olestra made its debut? Do you remember that ingredient that showed up in fat-free Pringles and other chips and was marketed as the answer to eating our chips without all the fat? Well, it wasn't long before I, and probably many of you, discovered that something about this ingredient did not agree with our bodies, and it was removed from the market almost as quickly as it came on. During this era of mine, of if it's fat-free, it's okay, I remember I was dating John at the time, and we were in his kitchen at his home, and his brother said one day, "You know, Jane, even fat-free foods have calories, and it's the calories that count, not the fat." By my rules at the time, I disagreed. I had some different rules. Now, sometime later, I did switch my food rules from fat-free to then sugar-free. And at this point, anything sugar-free was the way to go. It didn't matter, again, what chemical might be used to replace the sugar or what it might ultimately do to my body. If it was sugar-free, I thought it was great. I'll never forget the day my sisters-in-law and I discovered sugar-free jelly beans. We were in London picking up my younger sister-in-law from her internship and study abroad there, and we attended a play that night. We brought our newfound treasure with us of the sugar-free jelly beans and freely partook. Well, it wasn't long, and we had kind of been eating those all through the day as well since we had discovered them in the afternoon. So it wasn't long before whatever it was that was replacing the sugar began wreaking havoc in our digestive systems. And so we became really bloated and cramping and gassy, and we kept jumping up from our seats in the middle of the production and heading for the bathroom. Fortunately, we were pretty much on the last row up in the upper balcony, last row, and the bathrooms were right behind us. But upon our return to the hotel room, our attempts to sleep continued to be interrupted by these same symptoms. And we had a great time teasing each other that whole night as we lay there awake about our great fortune of the discovery of the sugar-free jelly beans that truly turned into great misfortune. And as I think about all of this, I find it fascinating that I've put so many irrational food rules on myself, these being just two of many examples, really, all in the name of being, you know, healthy. These rules kept me stuck in a lot of processed foods with a lot of labels, making the promises I wanted to hear. And I just thought, you know, don't most diets have rules that when we really think about it, don't actually make sense for our health? Do you remember the one that lets you eat as many cheeseburgers as you want as long as you don't eat the bun? Or how about the rule that John followed for a while, which allows you to consume any quantity of breads, pastas, or pastries you desire as long as they are gluten-free? Now, John's not gluten intolerant, and like many on any diet attempting to control food intake and weight, he ended up actually gaining weight from this particular diet attempt. So today I am trying a new approach. The new rule that I am aiming to follow is simply real food first. And I find that in so many ways, this is helping me to have a more mindful approach to my food and to get the nutrients that I need and to reduce the cravings that are produced by a lot of those other processed foods, because I'm ending up eating a lot less of them simply because I don't have the desire for them. In the same way, they've lost their grip as I shift my focus to the real food first. So I'll talk about that in a moment. So an interesting question came up as we started to look at this, you know, what is real food? I think as a society, we've drifted so far from this basic concept of real food that we can be left asking ourselves whether the mac and cheese box declaring its ingredients to contain whole grains now with 2 extra grams of fiber is our real food. So much of our packaged foods today are devoid of so much of the nutrition we need, and instead they contain nutrient-deficient ingredients that really can cause us to crave more of these same nutrient-deficient ingredients. It can be really a trap and a spiral. As Americans, we tend to have so much guilt around food and often can't even enjoy our food. I feel that the abundant temptations that are all around us can create an obsession with food rules to control our intake, you know, in the name of health, striving to be healthy and striving to be mindful. And these temptations and this obsession that can result from it could be part of what is continuing to make us as a society so sick from food. And when we went to China's Longevity Village the last 2 years, and as we came home and I witnessed with a new sense of curiosity what we are doing here, and I watched the centenarians and the other people who live in the village and what they're doing there, I just reflected on our dilemma. As I witnessed the friends and family in the village working together to grow and harvest and prepare and partake of their food together, and food rules did not exist in this village. Guilt, overeating, did not exist. Obsession over resisting foods, that's non-existent. Traditionally, until just a few years ago, as more and more travelers are coming to the area and opening it up, there are now some of the traditional packaged foods that people look for when they're traveling and that they're bringing in. But traditionally, any of these kinds of tempting foods were non-existent. And of course, obesity was non-existent. Eating disorders, of course, there was no sign of eating disorders with being confused about trying to control food. It was a very different dynamic. The people are simply grateful to have the real food that they've worked to produce. And thinking about here in our society, in the U.S., 50% of our meals are prepared or eaten out. And it's really easy for us to become distanced from the knowledge of what is actually in our prepared food. And when we get curious and we begin asking questions, we often find it is comprised of ingredients that do not promote our health or even create cravings to eat more of these processed foods. For me, when I find that I'm in the grip of the junk food, it really does take some work to escape its hold. The junk food can override my natural cues that my body tries to send me to eat healthy, and instead makes me think I just want more junk food. But as I become aware of this and I refuse to succumb to this lie and begin mindfully eating more real food, I find I am better able to listen to my body's cues, and I actually come to crave that real food more often than not than the junk food. It feels like such freedom. And when I can get to that place, and it is a constant and continual attempt, and it is a journey, it's not an arrival. And so each day, it's an opportunity to make some choices. And I am striving to first eat the fruits, the vegetables, the legumes, the nuts, the seeds that do give me the nutrition that my body needs and truly do satisfy my hunger in a real way. And I'm finding that as I do this, it reduces my intake of the less nourishing foods, and it sometimes even eliminates the desire for these foods altogether. Now, one other really important benefit that I'm finding in this approach is, for me, is that nothing is forbidden. And this is really key for me. In my experience, when I forbid myself a certain food, I often end up eating that food in excess. I don't know if any of you have had that experience. So the freedom that focusing on the real food first offers for me, in contrast to these irrational food rules that I've used to try to control my intake and the accompanying cravings that come, this freedom now, it tastes so much sweeter than any sugar-free cookie or fat-free potato chip that I could ever consume. I would love to hear your stories. I would love to hear your experiences and what you have found that has been helpful to you.
Please come visit us at our website, drjohnday.com. Leave a comment or a question, read some success stories, watch our book trailer on China's Longevity Village, and sign up for our free newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook at Dr. John Day. And if you find value in our podcast, please consider leaving a review in iTunes. This helps us tremendously in reaching a broader audience and getting our message out. We would love to give you a shout out on the next podcast as a thank you, and we'll share your name and website with our audience. Until then, here's to real food, real living, and real happiness. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Dr. John Day Show.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. John Day Show. Now is the time for you to live better. Go to drjohnday.com to sign up for Dr. Day's newsletter, daily success tools, and more. It's never too late to change.